Before we even talk about closure of Dwight, I want to just find out how you got into what you're doing.
It's a long story, really. I went to a religious retreat program called Walk to Emmaus, and I met a gentleman there after I had gone through it. I was asked to be on a team, and I met a fellow there who was a pastor. Richard Jumper was his name. And he called me one time, and he says, Dave, he says, I'd like you to be on a retreat team. And I says, well, sure, Dick. And he says, well, this is for FHL, which is a prison ministry out of Peoria. And I says, well, let me think about it and let me pray over it. And he says, well, I already have. And when I went into the mail the next day, there was the information he had for me on what. And I did it, and it was just, that's what I felt the Lord wanted me to do. So, and that was in 98, the first time I did it.
Now, what's your life's work been in?
I worked for R.R. Donnelly and Sons and was transferred to Dwight in 1983.
And those that don't know it, for listening to this, that's a pretty prominent employer in Dwight.
Yeah, it is a big employer in Dwight.
You're retired from there?
I retired 11 years ago in August, this coming August. So,
what do you think your friend saw in you? I mean, I assume you're a church-going man, and had you ever imagined some kind of having some kind of skills that would help you when you're retired from work to counsel others?
I don't know what he saw in me. I believe that God wouldn't ask me to do anything that to fail. So evidently, if I do nothing more than show his love to the people incarcerated, why that? And sometimes I say things that I don't remember what I say, and the guy says, oh, thank you, I needed to hear that. It's hard to describe someone who has never been in that situation. It really is. It's just, it's very difficult.
Well, and you didn't have a lot of time for soul searching on this request because he sent you the stuff a day later.
I got the stuff the next day, so I assumed that, okay, and I said I'd try it, and then I wondered, let me go back. One day I heard a sermon from the pastor of the church, and he said, you know God's calling you to do something if it's way outside your comfort zone. And I compared my comfort zone at that time to the size of a baseball diamond, 90 feet by 90 feet by 90 foot square. And I said, and since most people are familiar with Wrigley Field, I says, I didn't even feel like it was on Sheffield Avenue, let alone inside the ballpark. But after I have did the first couple, it is a comfort zone for me. I don't have any problems going into I go into Pontiac Correctional Center, which is a maximum security, and Stateville, which is my home prison. That's where I went through all the detail work to get qualified as a prison volunteer. So they're the two. The other maximum security, men's maximum security unit, is Menards, which is way down south. I've never been there, but I've been in Stateville and Pontiac quite regularly.
So when you were training for this, did you always feel good about it?
Yes, I did. I did feel good about it, and I felt it was the Lord's calling.
Where was your first experience? What facility did you go to?
The very first one?
Yeah.
Dwight Correctional Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you immediately feel this kind of connection to these female inmates and build relationships?
I didn't really start building any relationships until after I retired and was asked by one of the other participants if I would be interested in doing a Bible study under the auspices of, for lack of a sponsorship, of the Gideons. And that's when I got really involved in the Dwight Correctional Center on a weekly basis. We have developed what you would say relationships.
Can we talk about the range of what they're incarcerated for?
From maximum, one of the inmates in there was who has been there the longest, and I think, and I don't think that it was Patricia Colombo. I don't think most people remember what she was involved in, but she's been there for a long time, over 30 years, because she was sentenced there before I moved down there. And women that are in there for DUIs. And at one time, when I moved down to Dwight in 1983, it was the only women's prison they had. So,
but you've counseled men as well. I mean, you've been to other facilities.
Oh, yeah. Probably spent as much time with the men as I have with the women.
but it's all in your comfort zone. You've never felt. I mean, you've been sitting across from someone convicted of murder,
Don't feel bad. In fact, I never ask them what they've done because I don't want to know. I don't need to know. Let me put it that way. I don't need to know what they've done because the Lord, through His Son Jesus Christ on the cross, did that so everybody could be forgiven. So I don't want to know, or I don't need to know, let me put it that way, what the person has done, because whatever I've done, if the Lord can forgive me, He can forgive them, no matter who they are or what they've done.
So is there just a full range of things that you talk about? You know, what sort of issues did they, is it simply them finding a connection to the Lord, or is it more about family relationships or relationships with other inmates?
A little bit of everything. Forgiveness, mostly. Some of them have a very, very difficult time forgiving themselves. In fact, I've heard more than one of them have said, oh, I killed a human being. How can I be forgiven? Yeah. They have, I don't need to know, but sometimes they tell me, no, it doesn't bother me.
Some of them reluctant to open up at first? I mean,
yes. But I know that they recognize what we're trying to present when they do start opening up. One of the other prisons I also go to is Sheridan. I'm what my previous pastor described as the program coordinator. I set up the programs. In fact, we will be going into Sheridan Easter weekend for a two-day program presentation. It's called Residents Encounter Christ. I go back there once a month for what we call a reunion, and I asked the question one time after a program, well, what did you perceive out of it? And one of the person's answer was, I had never been, this is the first time I've ever been in a program, and I've never felt so much love in all my life as when I walked into that room. So it makes me feel very satisfied that they can write to us through FHL, a postal box office address, but we cannot write back to them. And one of the people that were on the team that went into September in Sheridan received a letter from them, and it was how their emotions and how their spiritual feelings were and how much they appreciated all the work the team had did. And afterwards, it come out of me automatic. I didn't even think about it before I said it. You know, that's why we go in.
It's something I keep hearing, communicating with people in Dwight, is that a lot of these female inmates have family nearby, and now they're going to be 100 or so miles from them.
One of the women that I talked to, and I can't remember her name, and I wouldn't say it anyway, but she's from Chicago. It takes her folks an hour and a half to get to Dwight from where they live in Chicago. So I'm guesstimating, approximately, being originally from Chicago, I can kind of picture in my mind approximately where they were from, what area they lived in. And those people, it's going to take them, it's 85 miles from the Dwight Correctional Center to the Logan Correctional Center. It's going to take them another hour and a half. So their hour and a half trip went to 3 hours. But there's also a lady whose folks live in this area, and it takes them 2 hours to get to Dwight from this area, from the Champaign-Urbana area. And now they're going to be able to get to Logan within approximately an hour. So their drive is going to be cut in half. Someone said, and I don't know the exact figures, but about 60% of the inmates at Dwight were from the Chicagoland area. So,
well, another issue, I guess, is, and it's hard for someone like me to imagine prison feeling like home, but suddenly they have a new home. And you can talk about maybe some of the anxiety they've been feeling and you've been talking about.
It's amazing. Friday, we were notified, and everybody was pretty sure that that was going to be our last day because they were told that some of the women will be moved. They're going to walk the men from Logan to Lincoln and the women from Lincoln to Logan, which is just across the parking lot from each other. And, yeah, there was quite a few of the gals said, I don't want to go. This is home. But by the same token, the amount of faith that they showed, but if it's the Lord's will, I guess we'll just have to put our faith in that He's going to take care of us. I saw a large demonstration of faith in the Lord, and that He's in control and He will take care of us.
And it has to be rewarding for you that some of them are speaking this way and hope that it came from what you've taught them.
Well, not just me. I'm just a little tiny fish in the big sea. There's more than just me. I can't take credit for. There's the chaplains that were there, and there's other people. I mean, there's people involved with me. There's actually a total of, well, for example, this Friday there was, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. And there was another 2 that were on vacation in Florida. So there's usually 7 of us that were going in pretty regularly into Dwight Correctional Facility from under the auspices of the Gideon Bible Study.
Now, how is this arranged when you are you in, like we would expect in a movie, where you're on each side of a glass, or are you in a room together?
No,
or how
we're
that
in work? We're in a room together. It's not like what they show you in the movies. Not even close. Actually, they had a chapel that was donated by the Christian Women's League. Whether the whole state of Illinois or just in the northern area, I don't know, because I remember when they opened the chapel, it was very shortly after we moved down here. And that was all paid for by donations from the Christian Women's League to that chapel in Dwight. And we started doing it in the chapel itself, and then the group became a little bit larger than we had difficulty managing, because there were so many of them. And then all of a sudden, with the help of the chaplain, why, it come down to a group of about 25 to 35, and there was a room off to the side of the chapel that we used it in, and it was quite rewarding.
There's just two of you sitting in a room, and it's always been cordial, and
there was 7 and whatever the number was, and until someone decided that we could no longer touch them, while we were even as we would greet them, we would hug them. And so then the decision was made 2 or 3 years ago that we couldn't touch them, or they couldn't touch us, whichever one. And that was kind of hard on them, because they couldn't, you hug a person, say God loves you, and it just it's comforting. Because one of the prisons that I do go into, one of the men's prisons, they still allow that to happen, and or either that, or they might be turning their backs to it, but men need that as well as women, you know. It's not just one person by himself, although I have gone in by myself. But, again, it doesn't bother me.
I'm curious, have you been able to use some of these skills in just helping neighbors, friends in Dwight,
in
the economic impact of what's going to happen there?
I don't know yet. I really don't know what the economic impact is going to be. I mean, they can guesstimate it, but, you know, like, some of the people that are members of our church that work at Dwight Correctional Center are going to be moved to either Sheridan, Pontiac, or Stateville. So, you know, what it's going to be, well, for example, myself, my round trip from my house to the prison and back home again is 4.4 miles. Well, one of the volunteers that is in there, just about, I think he said it was close to 98 miles one way. So he's going to be much, much closer, and I'm going to be doing the 85 miles, not quite 90, but 85 miles, and I'm willing to do that.
If you gotten to the point where at such an age I won't be able to do this anymore, is that even in your line of thought right now?
Not right now. It's not in my line of thought. I'll be 76 on my next birthday, so it doesn't bother. You know, as long as the Lord wants me to do this, I think he will give me the physical capacity to do this. And I don't worry about when I get to the point where I won't be able to. That might happen next year, for all I know. Nor do I even think about it.
You know, are you thinking that these women, how are they taking to this move in America? Are you helping them? You feel like you've been able to help them make this
transition? In some respects, we are, because we remind them, you know, remember that God is in charge. And we've reminded them, now how the women who don't participate in those programs, I have no idea. I know that there was a lot of anxiety before they finally got told exactly, because even the employees of the prison didn't know what was going to happen. So if there's anxiety by people who are in control, that's going to run down to the people who are at the bottom end. In some sense, it's not good that it's over with and it's going to participate. I mean, the action is going to take, and we'll just have to learn to live with it.